14, the book of the prophet Hosea, and chapter 14. That's page 918. 918. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, you are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. And I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. And they that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn, and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. Well, the subject before us this evening is wonderful grace for the unworthy. Wonderful grace for the unworthy. I would like to speak first of all of how God demonstrates his wonderful grace in this book of the prophet Hosea. I want us to conclude by looking again at this chapter that we've read, chapter 14, to see the hope and the relevance of this wonderful grace to unworthy sinners. And in the context of this prophecy, the nation of Israel were in a dreadful state spiritually. There was great hypocrisy. The people had a name to live as believing in God, and yet they were dead spiritually. And the Sabbath day was a burden to them. Oh, they would cry, when will it be over so we can get on with our lives? When can we get on, the Sabbath day be over so we can get on with our business life and our family lives? And their bodies were in the temple worshipping, but their hearts were still in the world. And in the city of Jerusalem, there was corruption and greed and oppression and gross immorality. There was materialism and idolatry in various forms. And this was what we call gross syncretism. That means having God and idols, thinking you can have them both in your life at the same time. Now, of all the nations, Israel should have known better. God had shown them a better way. He had blessed them. He delivered them from slavery in Egypt in a miraculous way. He had brought them eventually into the beautiful land of Canaan. He'd given them this land freely. He had rescued them from their enemies. He'd restored them on so many occasions. And God had demonstrated so many times his long-suffering and patience. And therefore they were deeply responsible before God for their sin. They were without excuse before God. Now, this may be true of some of you here this evening. In fact, it's true of each one of us. But each one of us, we know a better way. We've been to Sunday school, been to Bible class, perhaps heard the gospel message many times. Those of you who are younger in years, your teachers have faithfully shared the gospel Lord's Day and midweek to you, and shared and talked to you and prayed for you. And are you turning your back on such a kind and gracious God who cares for your soul just like the children of Israel? Now we can have a question perhaps on this issue as we consider this matter together. If you had been very kind and gracious to a person, and you provided for them the very best you could, you'd given to them sacrificially out of your own finances, you'd given them generously, even to the point that perhaps it had cost you quite a lot, and you delivered on all your promises that you'd made to that person, would you not expect gratitude? Surely you would say, well, it's gratitude, it's my right. But consider if such actions had this type of outcome. The same person to whom you had shown love and grace and generosity rejected you and goes off and cuts you off from their life without so much of a word of thanks or praise or thanksgiving to you, and speaks against you and mocks you and shows hatred and bitterness against you, shows no appreciation whatsoever for your love, as it were, wipes their feet over all your kindnesses, as though in you and your actions meant nothing to them more than mud which is wiped off on the doormat. Well, how would you respond? Oh, you would probably feel justified in rejecting that personality of your life. Humanly speaking, you say, enough is enough. I want no more with that person in my life. I'm deeply offended. But what about God? You see, the nation of Israel had done just this. They'd rejected God. They'd got off on their own way. They despised God. They were heading without repentance in pride toward his just judgment. And yet amazingly, the long-suffering God, before this judgment comes, still extends a gracious and merciful invitation to repentance. If you will turn to me in repentance, I will still forgive you. I will receive you graciously. And so it is this evening. The same gospel message comes to us. Despite all the terrible idolatry in the nation, the atheism, the ridicule, the rejection of God, despite the constant rejection, he still extends his gracious invitation through the gospel of Jesus Christ to come to him in repentance and faith and receive forgiveness. Despite everything that has happened, God still promises this evening that there will be mercy to those who repent. Despite everything, he says, I will still receive repentant sinners and forgive. Now, this is the incredible message of the book of Hosea. A long-suffering God who delights in mercy to those who repent of their sin and yet still reserves his just and righteous judgment to those who refuse to repent. But the question may arise in your mind this evening, how far is God prepared to go to reveal the reality of his long-suffering mercy and grace? Well, God preempts his question in our minds through the prophet Hosea by telling Hosea to do something most remarkable as a picture, as a symbol of the amazing long-suffering grace and mercy of God. Now, this particular instruction that Hosea had to obey, some people think it is a vision and a parable, but others think it actually happened. And probably, as we consider this, it has an even deeper reality if what God commanded Hosea to do actually happened, really happened. It was more than a vision. It was actually a reality. And I believe that is the right way of looking at it in truth, because it has such a depth to it. It's such a picture when we see it in this way. Well, God reveals then his amazing long-suffering mercy through his commands to Hosea. Now, Hosea was a prophet and a preacher. And he's told by God to marry a lady called Gomer. And Gomer had a background of gross immorality and idolatry. This woman called Gomer had sold her body, had lost any dignity, any purpose in life, had no hope in this world. She was trapped, she was enslaved to this lust and idolatry, and her condition typified the state of Israel at that time and the state of our nation today. Yet amazingly, God through Hosea extends to Gomer his wonderful grace. God delivers Gomer through Hosea from the bondage of such a sinful life. He gives Gomer a willingness to come and to marry Hosea. And she leaves her sinful life at that time and marries Hosea, the man of God. And she comes under the care of a loving, God-fearing husband. Such a step by Hosea would send shockwaves through the religious establishment of his day. But see, this is meant to teach us something very important. God's grace shocks us at times. God's grace is so amazing. Jesus said, I have not come to call the self-righteous, the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And this happened when Jesus was here on earth. He sat alongside people of ill repute to present them with the gospel that they might be saved. And people saw the Lord Jesus and said, whatever is he doing with that woman? Whatever is he doing with that man? Whatever is he doing associating with such a person? And Jesus was sending a very important message. I've come to save sinners. And so it was that Gomer received a gracious gift from God. Through Hosea, Gomer was given biblical and spiritual instruction from her husband. She was given providential provision and protection and care by Hosea. And this action of Hosea in rescuing Gomer and taking care and marrying her and bringing her into his home from such a background typifies the way in which God rescues ruined sinners from the bondage of sin. He grants them freely by his grace the opportunity to a fresh start in life in Christ Jesus. Now you may be sitting here thinking, but if only God knew what I was really like, he would be sure to reject me. But God already knows about your life. He still says to you, it is possible to make a fresh start in life as you repent of your sin and you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. God has done for us what we could not do for ourselves. He has provided from himself a way whereby his perfect justice can be satisfied and we can be forgiven. His wonderful love to sinners can be known through his Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf lived a perfect life without doing anything wrong whatsoever. He suffered, though, on the cross at Calvary, bearing the eternal punishment for the sin of all those who put their trust in him. And then he gave up his life, dying as the perfect sacrifice, because God said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So Jesus had to die. That's why Jesus had to die. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. But he rose again from the dead, victorious over sin and death and hell. He ascended back to heaven and he now sits at the Father's right hand, ever living to make intercession for all those who come to him in repentance and call upon him in faith. And so Gomer here was given a fresh start in life. And so can you have a fresh start In Jesus Christ the Lord, all the sins of the past, the present and the future can be dealt with in the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. But there is another aspect to this account in the book of the prophet Hosea, a very sad development. Gomer, despite all that she'd received from God, still had part of her heart in the world. Gomer, in reality, was not really wholeheartedly committed to this fresh start given to her by God. After a while, the natural and the spiritual love of Hosea, her true husband, came to even reject it and despise it. She still yearned after this life of idolatry. She missed the excitement and the material rewards of lust. The old nature was at war with the new nature, and for a while the old nature wins a temporary battle, and despite all the kindness and all the security of the family home with Hosea, she ran off back to her ungodly roots. You see, staying at home with Hosea wasn't half as exciting as going off with other men and receiving their gifts. And she became known what is known as a backslidden believer. Gomer's actions and rejections of Hosea typified the way in which the nation of Israel had backslidden. They had treated God with contempt. Now, there may be some believers here this evening who are in that position. Backsliding. Your love has gone cold. And you're being pulled back to those old roots. And backsliding is one of the devil's greatest tools in attempting to destroy Christians. And like Gomer, Christians are tempted to think that being a Christian is now depriving you of some excitement. And Satan puts in your mind those sort of temporary excitements and pleasures of the world again. And there's this battle going on in your life. And perhaps your Christian life has failed to live up to your expectations this evening. You had actually set some parameters in your mind about your emotional experiences and they've not come to fruition. And instead of examining your experiences under the light of God's word, you'd already made up your mind what it was going to be like. But sadly, now there's an even greater deceit that can happen in our life. Satan will tempt you to doubt whether or not you are saved. And that becomes the cover for a desire to backslide. I've known this on many occasions with people. They've contacted me and said, "Oh, I'm struggling with this and with that. I don't ever think I was really saved in the first place." And then when you sit and talk to them, you realize that actually, they're wanting to go down to this backsliding route. So, sadly, such people return step by step to a lifestyle driven by Satan and sin. They put their souls back into bondage. They lose their first love. They lose their peace. They lose their contentment. And instead of being led by Christ the Good Shepherd and the Holy Spirit with the Word of God, they once again allow themselves to be led by Satan, driven by Satan. That is the awfulness of backsliding. It's something terrible. But Satan dresses up on something totally different from that. And this is what happened to Gomer. Once again, she was trapped in a life driven by lust. Once again, she had walked into the prison of Satan, and so Gomer turned her back upon Hosea, and in doing so, turned her back against God. Surely we think, this is the end for Gomer. It's enough. It's the end. It's finished. She's going to be cut off. But now we enter into a new depth of the amazing grace of God. He again commands Hosea to do something even more shocking in terms of grace than when he married Gomer in the first place. Hosea is told by God to go and rescue Gomer and buy her back again, redeem her from that terrible situation. For once again, she's enslaved and helpless in her sin. And he's told to show compassion on her and mercy on her and look again with grace towards her. Oh, what grace it took for Hosea to go right in, right back to that place of iniquity where Hosea was staying and pay his own money to buy her back again, redeem her and rescue her from slavery and bring her back and get her liberty and bring her back to his home. Well, in the perfect timing of God, Hosea obeys the command of God and rescues his wife enslaved in her sin. He redeems her. He purchases her freedom. And Hosea brings her back home. And for her own good, he deals firmly with her, yet kindly. He commands her not to be unfaithful anymore. She must be committed to the marriage, and he would remain committed to her. And so in the end, grace prevailed. And backslidden Gomer is restored again. And this is a remarkable type of Christ in the actions of Hosea. Christ came to redeem lost sinners. He came to rescue backslidden believers, paying the price of his own life. You may be a backslidden believer this evening. And the message of Hosea is that God, in his long-suffering mercy, calls you back to him again. Return to me, and I will return to you. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. Oh, dear friends, this is grace. This is the love of God in Christ Jesus, the Lord. Oh, don't let Satan say to you, because you have been in this dreadful valley of backsliding, that it's all up with you. Oh, there is mercy for returning sinners. Turn, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Oh, how can sinners return to God? Well, this chapter tells us this evening exactly how. How is it backsliding Christians return to God? Well, dear friends, Hosea chapter 14 gives us these steps of how we come back, how we return, how we repent. There are steps that you must take this evening. And it's all here in God's word. It's all set forth plainly in your life. First of all, you are to turn from your sin. You are to acknowledge sin for what it really is. Verse 1, thou hast fallen by that iniquity. Oh, dear friend, sin's a curse on your life. The way Satan's dressed it up and made it look so attractive, in reality, it's a curse. Oh, thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. And you can't get up in your own strength. You need God to help you. And the only way God is going to help you is through repentance, through turning to God. Return unto the Lord thy God. And then, secondly, the second step is to take with you words. Verse 2, take with you words. Be honest in your confession. Be honest and sincere and say, oh Lord, I've rebelled against thy perfect way. I've rebelled against thy long suffering. I've rebelled against thy love and thy grace and thy mercy towards me. I've rebelled against thy word. Oh Lord, I have to confess that I have been a rebel. Take with you words. Tell God. Unburden your heart to the Lord. Take with you words and turn to the Lord and ask for forgiveness. Take away all iniquity, all those open sins, those secret sins can all forgiven be. Oh, it may be that Satan is reminding you constantly of something you did many years ago. And you believe in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. But Satan keeps saying to you, but what about this? But what about that? Oh, friends, this is the prayer. Take away all iniquity. All iniquity, and it can be taken away all in the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who's mighty to save, and receive us graciously. Ask for forgiveness, trusting in the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Reject your ungodly lifestyle. Remind yourself that this trusting in man, this trusting in the world is done you no good. Verse 3, Asher shall not save us. We're not going to trust in a man. We're not going to trust in all these things that were important in the world at that time and that are equivalent to this present time. We will not ride upon horses. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, our idols, our pride. You are our God. For in thee the fatherless find mercy. For in God, the fatherless find mercy. Be assured then of the gracious and loving purposes of God this evening. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. And trust only in the promises of God. Mine anger is turned away from him. Dwell under the secure shadow of God's salvation in Jesus Christ. Verse 7, they that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Dwelling under his shadow of protection. Have nothing more to do with idols. Verse 8, Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him, and like a green fir tree, from me is thy fruit found. Whoso is wise and shall understand these things, prudent, he shall know them, for the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein, those that continue in rebellion. And so it is this evening. You can come to God through Jesus Christ the Lord, just as you are this evening, and you can be sure God will not turn you away. I read recently of a young Brazilian girl who was fed up with life in her country town and the godly upbringing of her parents. And when she was 18, she ran off to make money in Rio de Janeiro. And there, like Gomer, she gave her body for money. She ended up trapped and terribly diseased and distressed. Her mother, knowing the danger her daughter would be in, she traveled to that great city with a number of passport pictures of herself and taped them in various places in the area in which she thought her daughter would be. And one night, returning to her lodgings there in the hallway, she noticed one of these passport pictures of her mother. And when she looked at it closely, her mother had written on the reverse, "Come home. Whatever you have done." come home, whatever you have done. And that is what the Lord says to you this evening. What shall I say? How shall I come? In repentance of your sin and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Oh, dear friends, there is so much teaching in the book of the prophet Hosea. It reminds us of the amazing long-suffering grace and mercy and compassion of God. And as we consider this evening, do not turn your back upon God. Remember, God is mighty to save. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him.